Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm talking image, style, everything. It was this James Bond movie, and it's just... It kind of gave me the... There's comparisons with Sean Connery.
Get the lingerie on the deck, call the janitor.
Except they weren't favorable. Actually, it was more like Goldfinger and Gert Farb. I mean, it's like, okay, so... I'm just kidding. All right. Let's get to our play-by-play call today.
Petrie holding it over to Gensel. Slaps it to Crosby. Back up top to Petrie. He'll blast one. Scores! Jeff Petrie with a bullet. Just inside the line. Tickles the twine. And the Penguins have a 3-0 lead with 4:55 to go in the second.
Josh gets off with the call on the Penguins Network. See, Matt, I know. Just a reference for Flyer fans. That's how professional hockey teams do it.
Really, I didn't notice.
I think you'd find it a more enjoyable game if you did.
The Flyers are off to a pretty good start, though. Better than the Pens right now.
Yeah. Tortorella's a good coach, I'm telling you. You didn't like the hire. I'm like,
I've been pleasantly surprised so far.
He is a really good coach.
But what happens when the first set of adversity comes through and you're losing games constantly, then what happens? Do you tune them out or do you play? Then we'll find out.
You can tune them out. If you tune me out, I'll cut you. That's it. Be amazed how when your paycheck's on the line, you're not so tuned out. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And what technicians they have. They do great work in that service department. They could use more of them, too. Apply. Get yourself in there. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. I believe he's at a 5-star hotel as we speak. Reginald Walker now joins us. Sir, welcome.
Steve, you're always on top of things. I am indeed in Washington, D.C. I am also, though, at the Hamilton Hotel currently.
Well done.
Our Dealmakers event.
Well done.
Which also includes Adam Silver wrapping up the speaker sessions today. And yeah. Mark Cuban's here as well.
Two guys that have done a great job of understanding the market. And
Yes. Not
when I mean the market, I mean the two of them understand the world market. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's the main thing to really underscore with those guys is they've got such a wide view of what they're doing. It's not just for the right now, and it's not just for the right here, but it's for everywhere and moving forward. And that's what I think they do a great job of understanding.
Conference USA has reached an agreement with ESPN and CBS that they're going to take the Maction viewpoint of college football, except instead of doing it in November, they're going to have midweek games during the entire month of October. This is up your wheelhouse. So what do you think of that?
I think it's smart. I think they're trying to get to the point to where they are visible consistently. And I think, and Steve, you'll certainly understand and love this premise here, but everybody is trying to find the Frank Beamer model for success.
Yeah.
Remember in the 90s and early 2000s, He wanted to play on Thursday nights because no one else was playing. There was no NFL on Thursday nights. There was nothing else going on except somebody's coming to Blacksburg. We're going to hear Enter Sandman, and they're probably going to get beat down in Blacksburg on a Thursday night. And it really helped him build that program. I think what we've seen since is some programs tried it, and they were somewhat successful with it. But what we're seeing now is conferences trying to find that space to where they can rule national television. And it's really simple. A lot of people are looking at this like, why would you do that? Well, it's the same if you really look at it in certain ways. It's very similar to what the Big Ten just did. They just basically cast their lot on those three major national networks, right, the broadcast networks, to own Saturday in those spots on the channels that had the widest reaches. Other conferences obviously are not going to have that luxury, Conference USA specifically in this case. So what they're doing is they're taking the cable model and the and understanding also what Frank Beamer did, and they're applying that just like the MAC did to fund their way up, because now they have better TV deals doing it that way, which is exactly what the MAC did.
Well, and now you have what happened was Beamer did a great job with that, including that classic Warwick Dunn Florida State game against Virginia Tech, which was phenomenal on a Thursday night. And what happened was the NFL took it over. And tonight, for example, the Falcons and the Panthers will play tonight in Charlotte, but they took it over. And one thing the NFL can't take over, because I think there would be backlash, they can't take over Saturday, so the Big Ten made sure it staked out as much Saturday as it could.
Absolutely. At that, and to your point, the Conference USA also realizes Big Ten can't, I mean, the NFL can't play every week.
Right.
Or every day of the week. They
right.
can't do it.
Right.
So we're going to go to a day where they can't try to take it over. We're going to go to a day to where Alabama doesn't want to play on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, or really a Thursday, right? Alabama, Penn State. Like, but we've seen that model not work for some of the Power Five conferences. So when you're a Group of Five league and you're looking for some space to get eyeballs and exposure on your product, you have to go, quote, where they ain't, right? And in this case, the where they ain't is the other big boys that get more attention, and go where they are, right, where they're available. Because the mindset here is simple. People love football, so we're going to give it to them every day of the week, but it's a different brand of football every day of the week. So they're going to keep coming back because it's not the exact same.
Well, I mean, and that's what's interesting about it. The competition will be for Conference USA, the baseball playoffs, and the World Series. Because they'd be the only ones playing on Tuesday and Wednesday nights at that particular time. The NBA is not really going at that point. NHL is, you know, it doesn't matter if they're going at that point because it's so early in the season. I have to ask you about a player that's playing down there that maybe the fans up here need to get a better handle on. His name is Drake May, the quarterback at North Carolina. You know, so tell us about him and the buzz in your state over him.
He's certainly a special one. Now, I've got a little additional info on him, and there's a Penn State connection with that. So Matt Jenkins, who spent some time at Penn State, I believe as a graduate assistant, around the same time Matt Rhule was there.
Yes, yep.
Matt is actually the head football coach at Huff High School, which is where Drake May originally went to high school.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a young man, and some Pennsylvanians will remember this young man, a quarterback named Kanik Bonner-Stewart, who went to Huff. Drake May backed him up, and they were essentially at a time, I'll say this now, they were essentially waiting for the day when Kanik Bonner-Stewart kind of lost the job to Drake May, but he kept getting better and playing better. He never lost the job to Drake May. Drake May ends up transferring high schools. The rest is history. He goes to Myers Park, puts up crazy numbers on to the University of North Carolina. Everybody feels like this kid is special. His numbers right now are video game-like. He's got the size. He's got the ability to make every single throw. And, Steve, the interesting thing about this, I saw this the first time I laid my eyes on this kid. He was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
And I said to Matt Jenkins, I don't know that I've seen a ninth grader spin that ball the way he does to the outside of the field, to the, you know, those outside throws from the opposite hash. I hadn't seen anybody do what I saw him do as a ninth grader with that. So the arm strength is there. The anticipation is there. The ability to understand defenses is there. And, oh, by the way, he can run around a little bit, which is very scary. Obviously, the guy, he succeeds is Sam Howell, who's now in the NFL. I thought when I saw Sam Howell at the high school level, I thought Sam was the best guy I'd ever seen throwing the ball on the move at the high school level. In terms of being able to move outside of the pocket, I felt like there were times where he looked better throwing on the run than he did throwing stationary in the pocket, which is hard to do. Drake May, to me, is much more talented, and he's obviously bigger in terms of height. And obviously with that comes weight as well. I think he's a high-level prospect, and I'll say this, and I said this about Sam Howell, and I would argue that if the team didn't lose so many games his third year there, this would have come true. I think Drake May will end up in New York before he leaves the University of North Carolina.
Yeah, he already leads the country with 31 touchdown passes this season. As you mentioned, he can run. But what's interesting about that, he may not be at North Carolina if Sam Howell wasn't there first.
I completely agree with that. And that's where Mack Brown came in and sort of turned that thing on its head, because I don't know if a lot of people remember, Sam Howell was committed to Florida State for,
yep,
I think, well over a year.
Yep.
And he sort of flipped at the last minute. A lot of that had a lot to do with a lot of different factors, from what I understand, family concerns as well. And obviously there's been some instability at Florida State over the last 8 to 10 years or so as well. So that's a factor in all of that as well. But yeah, I think Drake is supremely talented. I think he's got the kind of talent that if Gene Chizik's defense can start stopping some people consistently,
yeah,
they've got a chance to win an ACC championship. Obviously, they have a chance to win one this year, as it looks like they'll likely go and probably face Clemson in the ACC championship game. And I think North Carolina's got a chance to win that game. We've seen the issues that Clemson's had on offense. I think the prudent thing for them to do when this season ends is to make a phone call and bring Jeff Scott back, who was the co-offensive coordinator for them for both of their national championships. He just got fired as the head coach at South Florida.
Yep.
I think you bring him back in the fold, and that helps fix that offense.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, because Clemson is so close to Charlotte along the way. We know what Dabo still wants to build the program the, quote, old-fashioned way. He wants to recruit players, bring them in, develop them, have them play 3 to 5 years there. I think that's a fair assessment of what he wants to do. Others have adapted. Even look, Nick Saban's adapted. Brought in the linebacker from Tennessee. The running back Gibbs is out of Georgia Tech. He's brought in some select transfers here and there. So what is the word about Dabo, considering last year was a 3-loss season, and the other night against Notre Dame, they didn't look good?
Yeah, I think that the issue is with Dabo. Well, there's two things I think going on that I see. And let me break one thing down real quick. Dabo is notorious for being the last guy to offer certain players, particularly high-level quarterback prospects. He often comes in last because he wants to make sure as a staff that they get it right.
Yeah.
Obviously, mm-hmm, Big U, Big DJU, Big Cinco, right, they call him.
Yeah.
They thought they had this thing right, especially when Trevor Lawrence went down for those couple of games with COVID and all of that, his third year, and DJ had to play. DJ played well. They thought, oh, we got this thing right. Now it doesn't look as much like they've gotten this thing right. And so that's part of why Dabo likes to bring guys in and let them develop in the program, to make sure that even if there are deficiencies, they can coach them through those things before they have to play heavy, heavy snaps. The other issue that I would say that they've had is, listen, I think they've, and this is probably an unfair phrase, but they have failed to keep up the level of receivers that they had at one point.
Oof.
When you had guys like Justin Ross doing some of the things,
yeah,
he did as a freshman in a national championship game,
yeah,
Amari Rodgers is playing in the NFL, Mike Williams, who he had the nasty injury, the neck injury, he's playing in the NFL now. Like, you go back and look through
some
of the receivers that have – T. Higgins, thank you. That's the one I was trying to think of. I almost called him Tyler Boyd. I knew that was wrong.
Yeah.
T. Higgins is exactly right with the Cincinnati Bengals. You start going through the pantheon of those guys that they've had over the last 7, 8, 10 years, and you don't see that explosiveness on the outside. I'm not trying to diminish Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson or even Taj Boyd before them, but when you can throw a 4-yard slant and it turns into a 65-yard touchdown,
yeah,
things are a lot easier than it is right now for Big Cinco. They also, another guy to remember, they had an excellent possession receiver in a guy like Hunter Renfrow, now playing for the Raiders.
Right.
When you have those kinds of players all at the same time, the quarterback, it's a little bit easier for him, because all he's got to do is find the matchup and get the football out. I'm, again, not trying to diminish those players, but it tells you, when you have guys that make the offense easy, it changes. I've said for years, Penn State, if you think about it, and not to diminish Trace McSorley, but when you're throwing the ball to K.J. Hamler, right, and he takes a two-yard pass and goes 85 yards,
yeah,
it's different. When you can throw the ball to Pat Freiermuth on a seven route to the tight end, and he breaks a tackle from the linebacker and runs away from a safety, that makes things a little bit easier. Right now, and listen, I love Keandre Lambert-Smith and Parker Washington and Mitchell Tinsley. They're really good wide receivers. But they are not, in certain ways, as explosive as guys that we've seen in the past. They're right. Jahan Dotson as well. So when you have those kinds of weapons on the outside, it really, really helps you. And I think those are the two things that are struggling, that they're struggling to figure out at Clemson right now, is the quarterback seeing what they need him to see, and then do they have those explosive playmakers on the edges to make those plays? Not to mention Clemson, and with respect to Will Shipley, he is not C.J. Spiller, he is not James Davis, period.
He's good, though.
He's good,
yep.
But he's not those two guys.
No. Now the
or Travis Etienne. Sorry.
Yeah. Or yes. Or Travis Etienne. I know what it's like here with Sean Clifford, and I do realize that there is a group out there, every single snap screaming Drew Aller. I got it. I sit in this chair. I hear it. All right. So. DJ's the starting quarterback at Clemson. We know how things have gone. How loud are the calls for Cade Klubnik?
They're very loud. And you know what's interesting? They've actually gotten quieter the last 4 days.
Really?
Because as much as they were screaming last week, the backup went in there, Cade Klubnik, the high-level recruit, and it didn't change anything. And they started to go, oh, maybe we're just not what we used to be in terms of explosiveness.
Yeah.
That is part of it.
He threw one pass last week. It was picked off.
There you go, right? And so, and the thing I always say, and I want to say this to not only, obviously, Clemson fans that may be listening, but obviously Penn State fans. Listen, I love Drew, and I think he's got loads of talent.
Oh, yeah.
And Drew, I hope he respects what I'm saying here. It doesn't matter how talented you are. When you're young, you are going to make mistakes. And I think that's the one thing that, as a coach and from a coaching standpoint, James Franklin and his staff have to weigh that and understand what that could cost them in games in terms of trying to win versus Sean Clifford, who, yes, he still makes mistakes as well. I'm not saying he's perfect, but his experience can carry him through certain things that Drew has not had the chance to make the mistakes and learn to carry through him or to carry him through certain things. So that's where I think kind of a little bit of the separation is between the, if you will, two camps. And I think people have to be aware of that. Yes, young players and talented players are just that. They're talented. But young players still do make certain mistakes at certain times. And right now, listen, this is a football team that can very realistically win 10 games. And if some things fall the right way, they're on the way to the Rose Bowl. Now, they're going to need some help for that. Otherwise, it's probably the Orange Bowl if they win the rest of the football games. I stay focused on that, do everything I can to get that mission accomplished, and then figure it out from there. My other concern is that at times, our fan base can, particularly after losses against Ohio State and Michigan like this year, can sort of check out on this football team. Stay with this football team. There's a chance to win 10 games, finish in the top 10, and maybe more, depending on what happens in front of them.
Well, I will say this. James Franklin, I think, has been tremendously consistent with how he has handled the situation. He's the entire time. He has not wavered. He has been consistent the entire time. I mean, Drew ended up playing a quarter and a half against Indiana on Saturday because it was the right time and the right place. And to his credit, he performed really well. And part of bringing a young player along is you want to put them in spots where they can get success. And I feel like James has done that with Drew Aller.
I completely agree. And that's the entire key. It's about building the confidence and letting them build the confidence in themselves that they can grow through things and start to make some plays. Again, the mistakes, they're probably going to come at some point.
Sure.
Whether there are a lot or not, that's a whole different conversation. But to your point, You get him in there, you get him in the right situations, you get him rhythm throws, you get him easy completions, you give him simple reads and allow them to start feeling comfortable to understand that they can play at that level. And then you turn them loose down the line. The only thing I've always said, because I hear the other thing I was hearing, right, and you probably heard this too, which I think is sort of funny, and I'm careful saying funny. Remember about, oh, I don't know, 4 weeks ago when Kentucky was 5-0 or whatever they were, 4-1,
yeah,
and everybody was screaming, we should have kept Will Levis and this, that, and the third?
Right.
Yep. The issue wasn't that Will Levis wasn't talented. You can't play two of them. And so I think what people have to – now, that's quieted because Kentucky's lost a couple of games.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying it's Will Levis's fault.
No.
But that's some of what happens in the sport, is people jump on these bandwagons because they see some results and they think that something is completely different. And the reality is you can't play two. And the danger – and I've said this on this show before – the danger of how well James Franklin recruits – is that the transfer portal is always waiting for the next guy to say, I'm leaving Penn State to go somewhere else because two of us came in here playing the same position
yeah.
at the same time and we're both talented and we both can't start.
Right. And that's every position you could say that about, not just quarterback. And look, I stood out there and I watched Drew and Sean, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was, out there. There wasn't a week that went by. You know, there may have been days where, like, I thought Will is better than Sean today. Okay? But there wasn't a week that went by where I didn't think, no, Sean shouldn't be the starting quarterback. I mean, that's just my amateur eyes watching it. I mean,
well,
you know, and I'm
let
just...
me say this. There's no amateur eyes on Steve Jones. You know this game. You've been around it long enough. You know what you're seeing.
So, my friend, thank you. Appreciate you so much. Enjoy D.C. And, you know, don't forget to expense the 5-star accommodations.
I will certainly remember that. Always good to talk to you, Steve. Y'all take care.
Reginald Walker joining us in D.C. Take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians, and they can use more, by the way. But boy, they do a great job. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. I don't quite get, at times, the lack of common sense in sports. I swear they try to do things where they make it more complicated than it should be. And so I'll give you one of those examples right now, because so often I feel like I come up with simple solutions. And let's talk about the Rose Bowl for a moment. Rose Bowl's a problem, it's a complication, on and on you go, right? Except I don't see it. I don't see what the issue is here. The college football playoff, in my opinion, one of the moves that has not been a great move has been to play the college football playoff games, the semifinals, on whatever Saturday around New Year's. Okay. I know you're trying to avoid the NFL, so I do understand that. I do understand that. But I have maintained for years that you should be playing the semifinals on New Year's Day. Now, in this particular year, that would be January 2nd. And you do a triple header. You play the one semifinal at 1 o'clock. You play the Rose Bowl at 5. And you play the other semifinal at 8:30. What is so complicated about that? I don't understand. So now let's bring it to the 12-team playoff. They say, what do we do with the Rose Bowl? The Rose Bowl wants to be at 5 o'clock on Eastern time on New Year's Day, or in this case, January 2nd. Again, what is so complicated? You play a game at 1 o'clock. You play a game at 8:30. On years where the Rose Bowl is not one of the games. What is so complicated about that? I don't get it. In 2019, Penn State played in the Cotton Bowl, and the Fiesta and Peach Bowls were the semifinal bowls, and they were played that day because the 29th, when Penn State played, was Saturday. Well, Penn State played the Cotton Bowl at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which then led into the Fiesta Bowl, or led into the Peach Bowl, which led into the Fiesta Bowl. What is the difference in that model compared to what I just said? It accommodates the Rose Bowl. It puts it at a time that is popular with America. I mean, the Rose Bowl last year was Utah-Ohio State, drew 16 million viewers. It's New Year's Day, so college football would be back to owning New Year's Day. And I would tell the Citrus and the Outback Bowls, or whatever they call it these days, that you guys are going to move. Unless you want to play one at 11 a.m. Which, by the way, the game in Tampa has been played at 11 a.m. before. If you wanted to do that, fine. But then you play a semifinal at 1, play the Rose Bowl at 5, and at 8:30 you play the whatever the other playoff game is. What is so complicated about that? It gets you off Saturday. It puts you on the day that people are really locked into college football. It would increase the ratings. It would make the property more valuable to TV entities because the ratings would show that. And I've never understood why they're going around and round right now with the Rose Bowl as to what to do about that should they expand to 12 teams. And they haven't talked, I guess, in 2 weeks since the last proposal. I don't get what's so complicated here. Sometimes the best solutions are the easiest solutions. I mean, that's how I view it. I just don't think it's as complicated as they're making it out to be. I found it baffling. That's just me. Maybe I'm just a simple sort. I don't know.
No, they can't even figure out how to rank the teams 1 through 4, let alone like learn how to schedule them.
No, but you get no. I'm talking big picture stuff. That's little tiny weekly snapshots. That means nothing. Who's ever ranked this week? That's not the final four. So it doesn't matter. See, when you get to this, my stage in life, you're like going, it doesn't matter. I get it. It's all it is a weekly snapshot. Boom, here are the four teams this week. Okay, who cares? I don't understand why you get wrapped up in it.
Well, for the reason you just explained, there's no common sense. There's no common sense to them with the scheduling part of it. There's no common sense to them for putting the teams in it.
They're doing it for interest. That's all they're doing it. It's just like in the preseason, Penn State's unranked. What did I say?
Oh, yeah, who cares?
Right. It doesn't matter.
But at that time, they should have been unranked, and they've worked their way back up. That made sense.
No, you were all mad that they were not ranked. You were all, it's like, it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. I said, they got time. Let them play. Same thing with this, right? There's still so much left, including like a Texas TCU game, a Michigan Ohio State game. There's a lot left. Conference championship games. It's going to be in 3 weeks, it'll be sorted out. It doesn't matter who's 1 through 4 right now. Because just because you're 4 now, doesn't mean that you went out and you're in. No, not necessarily. Every week is a different snapshot. That's all it is. Here's this week's snapshot. This is where they are. If it were played today, this is who'd be playing. Well, they're not playing today, so it's irrelevant. But it creates interest and buzz around the sport, so they do it. I know it sounds cynical.
I think Tim Brando said it best yesterday.
Well, he said the same thing I did. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, they, you know, the ESPN guys don't want to do it. But they're contractually obligated to do it. Just like when I see people like every week, oh, look at the rankings in the AP and the coaches poll. Who cares? Neither one of them counts. They don't count. They mean zero when it comes to the ranking, I mean, to the playoff. But every week, look, they're ranked 8th. Like, it means zero. It doesn't determine anything. I mean, you start to realize in this job what's relevant and what's not. And it's like, okay, that doesn't really mean anything. Now, if the AP and the coaches poll, like the old days, led to a national championship, now you're talking about incredible relevance. But when they don't lead to anything except a ranking, an opinion, eh, okay. It's interesting, but it has no bearing on how the title plays out. None. And it's the same thing with the weekly snapshot. You're like, this is stupid. It doesn't matter. Tennessee played Georgia. They didn't win. Are they in the top 4 anymore?
No.
I'm shocked. So, like I said, they played. Okay? So it doesn't matter where they were ranked going into the game, does it?
I was just pleasantly surprised to see with this week that they didn't overcomplicate things between Tennessee and TCU.
It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters in the, because there's no carryover between week to week. There's data points and things like that they've got to figure in and so forth. Okay. But that's about it. It's really not any more complicated than that. And it's the same thing with the road. Right? You can't overthink these things. I just explained your issue. You tend to overthink it a little bit. See, you're laughing now. You feel like...
I do have a tendency to do that sometimes.
You overthink everything. Don't. It's all right. It's all good. the suit romanticized everything. You overthink it. Every time I had Tony Knapp on the show, it drove him nuts. Why?
Yeah, because he didn't like business of sports, I know.
Because Tony would be talking money, the business part of it, you know, and some of it is not clean and easy, okay? And these decisions are made based on cash and so forth. And again, you know, and he loved, and I totally understand why, the romanticization of sports. That's fine. He loves the big open to start the broadcast. Everything like that, to tell the story, and here we go. And then I tell him I don't watch it. I don't watch the Open. Why not? Is it because I want to see the game start? But yeah, he didn't... And I understand where he's coming from. I mean, God, everybody wants to have that kind of... I understand it totally where he's coming from, and I appreciate where he's coming from. The point of having Tony on the show is that realistically, that's not how it works. I think the romanticization of sports gets more people to watch because they love that part of it. The business part of it's... It's real, but... And it explains some things, but it turns some people off because they don't want to think about it in dollars and cents. Yet money, the dollars and cents part's thrown at them all the time. You look, all kidding aside, look at the Yankees with Aaron Judge right now and what's happening there. That's all about money. I mean, he's not going to go back to New York because, oh, I just love playing for the Yankee fans. No. This comes down to cash. Simple as that. The Yankees offer more cash, he's going back. And then the press conference, he'll tell everybody how much he loves playing in front of the Yankee fans. But playing in front of the Yankee fans is not going to be the determining factor for him. It's going to be, can I get enough money out of it to do it? And that's not being cynical or rude. I'm just being matter-of-fact about it. You know, he's got to look at, you know, he's going to be 31 in May, and he's got to look at, hey, what's going to set me up for the rest of my life? Okay. And you go from there. And if the Yankees offer more money, he'll stay. And it could be that they offer comparable money, and he prefers to be in New York, so he'll stay. Okay.
If he's going to stay, that's what I think will be the scenario.
It's going to be about money. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just not anything more than that. If the money's in, if bids are close, the familiarity of where he is and how much he likes playing there, which obviously he does, right, then can be a swing factor. But if somebody comes up with a bid that, like, whoa, right? But if, you know, somebody comes up with more money, he's going to look at it and go, oh, okay. Because you can't turn that down. You can't. I mean, look at Albert Pujols. He loved playing in St. Louis. He loved it. Cardinals offered 10 years, $225 million. The Angels offered 10 years, $240 million. He took $240 million with the Angels. Eventually, he finished his career with St. Louis. But see what I'm saying? Everybody's different, but I just, you know, I mean, that's the reason these decisions are made for the most part. It's why you have agents. I mean, the player doesn't really have much to do with it until the end, about saying yes or no and signing the thing. The agent hammers the whole thing out. I mean, look at the great job that Suits agent did in getting him the Bucknell deal.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells fouled.
Bad example?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, one of the reasons that Aaron Judge might not sign with the Yankees, some of the judgments that are made in the front office.
Listen, I got to get some reading done. You mind if I do this here? I can't concentrate in my apartment.
Risk management?
Yeah. Steinbrenner wants everyone in the front office to give a lecture in their area of business expertise.
Well, what makes them think you're a risk management expert?
I guess it's on my resume.
You worry about your organization, don't you?
No good! No good! No good!
Who knows what other resumes are out there in your organization? courtesy, by the way, of Seinfeld. Ever tell you the Bubble Boy story? I think I told you the Bubble Boy story, didn't I?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Louise Mansell from State College plays the Bubble Boy's mom. Right? And she's a terrific actress, and I've talked to her several times. She said being on that set is incredible. There was a scene where Kramer is in a cabin and there's a fire and he trips out the window. She told me, she says, Steve, he said, he is such a perfectionist. He did that 14 times before he finally felt he got it right. 14 times. And that's him going out the window. It's not a double. That's the one where they're playing Trivial Pursuit and Donald keeps getting them right, the Bubble Boy. And the answer to the question was the Moors, right? And on the card, for whatever reason, it's either misspelled or it's whatever, there's a piece of dirt on it, whatever. He goes, and he says, no, the answer is Moops. Moops. He said, not Moops, it's Moors, you idiot. Louise told me every year Jerry would get the entire cast, including all the guest stars over the years, together for a party every July or something like that. He's out in the Hamptons. It was great. Not so sure that... I wonder how well that show... It's great in reruns, but I wonder if you could make that show today based on some of the jokes they had over the years. In today's climate. Interesting question. But not for this show to delve into. That's more of a Lawrence thing.
Exactly.
All right. King coming up tomorrow with Johnny Holiday. Two kings, one show. It's kind of like a Shikellamy broadcast.